Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Okay, in this message, I want to talk about covetous reciprocation and the relationship between those who are deceived and the false prophets who deceive them. I want to talk about wealth that is being wasted on the worship of self. Today, so many think that they are hearing the Word of God in their local churches, and they are hearing very little of it, actually, and mountains of divine truth is being left out, intentionally hidden from them by ear-tickling wolves they have chosen to place themselves under. These are those who scratch the backs of those who tickle their ears. You will recall in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible tells us to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, because they have unrepentant lust in their heart, in other words, they're in darkness and have not truly repented, they are heaping to themselves, they are purposely sitting under the false prophets who tell them what they want to hear instead of giving them the raw word of God. And the way this reciprocation works is these guys have a big mortgage to pay. They have buildings, they have mortgages for the building, for their own home. Coming out of their salary, they've got a staff, etc. And so they're not going to tell you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. They're going to tell you a skinny, scaled down Christianity light version of it in order to keep you happy and keep you coming back. All the while, they are walking you right off the cliff into the irrevocable damnation of hellfire forever. Because they haven't chosen to love God enough to hear from Him firsthand for themselves by studying His Word diligently, counterfeits will spend eternity in hell. That's what the Scripture teaches. They don't love the truth. They're not valiant for the truth, and therefore God is turning them over to strong delusion so that they would believe a lie and be ultimately deceived and damned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Their worship is those, that is, that claim they are Christians today, so many of them. Their worship is so very shallow, and at best, it's completely fake. They don't have a heart that is bearing itself naked before the Lord, and they live off of feelings and people telling them they're okay just where they are. But the Bible confronts us with the absolute necessity of repenting. Jesus said, except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. And I can tell you that by experience and from the truth, and that's all that matters, is that those that are living this way and haven't truly repented initially and ongoing as needed, they're not living a life of refreshment. The Bible says in Jeremiah 5:25, your sins have withholden good things from you. Also, what is it? Psalm 119:17 speaks to this absolute fact of sowing and reaping also, that fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And ultimately, verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So Jesus is going to come back in flaming fire and renovate his earth and restore it by putting all rebels down and then taking full control. Remember, the government of God is upon the shoulders of none other than the Son of God, Jesus Christ, Isaiah 9:6-7. So when Jesus refreshes someone, that's what he desires to do to all. His will is that all men would be saved and also to do what? Come unto the knowledge of the truth. Not only get saved, but stay saved, to abide in Christ, John 15:1-6. Those who don't abide in Christ, which includes abiding in the doctrine of Christ, that which the Bible itself says of Christ, are going to be thrown into the fires of eternal damnation. It doesn't matter whether or not that's popular or not. That's absolute naked truth. John 15:6. That's what Jesus taught. Also, 2 John 9-11. If you don't continue in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. You don't have a relationship with God. And then he speaks of those who bid Godspeed to false teachers, as we're talking about in this message, and how they will receive the same reward as those false teachers. That's 2 John. It's only one chapter. Notice verse 10 and 11. Now, what's the context? Beginning verse 7, for many deceivers. A lot of people are shocked to hear messages about deceivers and false prophets. In fact, our first, probably the best-selling book we have, Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, is a real blockbuster on this topic. It's going to shock you to see how many scriptures and how much real estate, if you will, in God's word is dedicated and set apart to warn his people about false leaders. Isaiah 9:16, the leaders, the leaders of this people go into error, and they that are led of them are destroyed. In other words, it's a ditch of eternal destruction that awaits all who allow themselves to be misled by false teachers, Pied Pipers, such as the many false prophets we have who have invaded the church world today and manned the pulpits of America's so-called churches. And I say the word man lightly, by the way. For many deceivers are entered into the world, the apostle writes, who confessed not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Now, somebody might say, well, on our pastor's website at the church, they have What We Believe page, and they talk about the virgin birth and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and the Bible being the final authority in their doctrinal statement. It's easy to put that on your website to fall back on and not preach it on a regular basis. All of the essential doctrines of the Christian faith, and preach Christ and teach Christology and how he is the fulfillment of over 300 prophecies, messianic prophecies, and all about his blood and his name and his death, burial, and resurrection, redemption, where it is finished, and all the other essential doctrines of the Christian faith. You're never going to hear those preached, much less on a regular basis. And it's easy to say, oh yeah, we believe that. Just look on our website. We have a statement of faith. Oh, really? And yet every Sunday morning, you're doing little more than tickling people's ears by teaching them how they can get rich in this world, to cope, and all of these shallow things, teaching them self-care. Have you ever heard this one lately? This is just another fraudulent movement we've been seeing for years. They call it self-care these days. A lot of people peddling this self-care. It makes you rich, if you will, in this world, only to die and go to hell. Self-care is nothing more than absolute selfishness. That's all it's doing. They're not teaching the cross. They're not teaching the essential of Jesus' cross, the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20, and the absolute divine mandate that if you're going to follow Jesus, he said, you must deny yourself. Not self-care and pamper yourself. You got to deny yourself. Take up your cross. In other words, live the crucified life and follow him. Otherwise, you are not following Jesus on his stated terms, and you're going to hear the horrible words of irrevocable damnation as he tells you to depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 7 and Matthew 24. Folks, you need a revival in reading the Gospels and obeying God and listening to what the Son of God that you claim to serve has stated. And by the way, as usual, read the King James Bible. Don't settle for any cheap counterfeit most and all of the new versions or the plan of Satan, the doing of Satan himself, without a doubt. He's been changing the word since the Garden of Eden. And unless you get in the word yourself and become an astute Bible student, I give you no hope for continuing in the doctrine of Christ. We are going to read that if we didn't already. In 2 John, look to yourselves, he says. First of all, he says, there are many antichrists entered into the world, and they do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist, and that would include coming in the flesh to pay the full price for the sins of mankind. Notice, look to yourselves. Take personal responsibility that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. So is it possible to lose those things that we have wrought or we have agreed with and obeyed in God and therefore have a relationship with him? Of course, this warning would not be there if such were not possible. Verse 9, 2 John, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Notice, you have to continue. You got to abide. That means continue and remain in the doctrine of Christ, what the Bible says of Jesus Christ. What do you know? If somebody says, tell me all about Jesus, how much of the scriptures are you going to be able to cite? That's what I'm asking you. Never mind this, I go to church every week. Could you teach a 15-minute Bible study with nothing but scripture? Most Christians couldn't. There's absolutely no excuse for that. And it shows you just how shallow you are. And that should give you the clue that you're not rooted in Christ and you're going to be washed away in the judgment that's coming. It's not going to be good. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, lawlessness. You've got time to run after every fleeting temporal trinket and some thrill on this earth, and you don't know the word of God. You can name 5 or 10 quarterbacks, but you can't quote 5 or 10 scripture from the King James Bible. Wow. It's time to repent, folks. This is all a result of self-love instead of Savior love and Savior worship. If you haven't noticed, on this website and this channel and podcast, we're not going to tickle your ear. I don't care if you're the biggest giver to this ministry. We're going to shoot you straight to the cross of Christ, straight to repentance, straight to the crucified life. Or otherwise, according to the scripture, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell irrevocably, never to escape. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Does that need explanation? Now, if you're not going to continue in the word of God, namely that which is concerning Christ and his utter uniqueness in all of history and how he shed his blood, he tasted death for every man, even Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, how he said in Revelation 1, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. That's Revelation chapter 1. Bouncing back to 2 John, we read here in verse 9 again that if you don't continue in the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God. God takes it very seriously when we believe something that is false about him, or we do not embrace the truth of Scripture. And let me just say this. Every true disciple that is going to be with Jesus is an absolute diligent student of the Lord's word, without exception. And that will show you, if you stand back and look at how many people you know who claim to be Christians and the Bible is just some little side hobby that they dabble with once in a while. That, my friend, is a counterfeit. If you're not in the word of God and you're not living a life of prayer according to the scriptures, I say this on divine authority, because he said to preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season, reprove, that means expose, a rebuke with all long-suffering in doctrine. I'm not condemning you, but God will, and I'm warning you about the judge and his coming judgment. If you're not in the word every day, you don't have a life of prayer, you're backslid, man. You're not ready to meet Christ. Speaking of meeting Christ, I read something tonight I really liked. This meme somebody put out there says, we're not looking for the signs anymore. Let's see. I don't want to mess this one up. I'm no longer looking for the signs of the times. I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet. We're looking for the soon return of Christ, folks. And Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He also said in Luke 12:40, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when you think not. 2 John verse 10, it's only one chapter. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, if they're not preaching the doctrine of Christ according to Scripture strictly, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, notice the posture here. The framing of this is kind of relating to the Mormons and the Jehovah Witnesses who come down the street. But, you know, we don't even need them to deceive people anymore. They have filled the pulpits of the American apostate modern church world. They don't take the time to teach you and ground you in the Word of God as a disciple of Christ, being full of the knowledge of God and equipped to do his work and to teach others the Great Commission. They're too busy feeding your flesh. It's pure evil. Self-care only is perpetuated by false teachers, by wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves entertain goats. True under-shepherd elders feed sheep. They ground you in the Word of God. They provoke you to love and good works, to get into the Word of God for yourself. They establish you in the faith. And of course, that absolutely involves your own repentance, faith, and participation. As you enjoy and participate in a life, you engage in a personal, vital union with Christ. That's what abiding in him would pertain to. John 15, such as he taught, he said to those that were his, that you have to abide in him. And when you do, you're going to produce good fruit. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit can be found, those three terms, in John 15. And if you don't, you're going to be cast into the fire. You're going to detach yourself from the vine. He's the vine. And you're going to no longer receive the nourishment of heaven, the virtue of glory. And therefore, you're going to be withered and thrown into the fire. Verse 6. So such things like self-care, which now we see so-called pastors, instead of watching for your souls, Hebrews 13, verse 7 and 17, they're too busy perpetuating things like self-care, pampering yourself. And this does nothing but perpetuate in the prey, the victim, their own misery. The only way to deal with the wicked, iniquitous nature that we have, Romans 7, is to crucify it, not pamper it. Jesus said, Luke 9:23-24, to those that would follow him, that if you're going to follow him, otherwise you're not following him, you must do some things. Deny yourself. Don't pamper yourself. Don't spend your time feeding the flesh. No, starve the flesh. Feed the spirit. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Now, let me ask you a question. If you haven't crucified the flesh with the affections and lust, are you actually Christ's child? I want you to memorize that, Galatians 5:24. Your favorite pastor will most likely intentionally avoid such a truth, and many others. When you start reading the Bible, you're going to begin to scratch your head when you read it for yourself diligently and daily. If you don't, it's because you don't love God. You don't worship him. You might as well get honest about it. You're full of yourself. You're self-seeking. You have a self-agenda. But when you study the Word of God, you're going to begin to scratch your head, especially the real Bible, the King James Bible, and you're going to say, wow, I didn't know this. But when you start reading it, studying it, and paying full attention with every faculty he gave you, you're going to have a whole lot less in common as you learn to embrace, to know, learn, study, embrace, and walk in the truth of God. You're going to have a whole lot less in common, you're going to realize, with the modern church world, which is nothing more than a circus in most cases. So it's your time, my friend, to get into God's word for yourself and to follow Jesus, to repent, to deny yourself, lay down your life and serve God and others, not yourself. That's the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:3-5. Loving your wicked self is your problem. And so all self-care and all of these other buzz terms that we hear, such as preach yourself and all of these other new age terms, are an absolute lie. That's our biggest problem, saints, is the love of self. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, the scripture says in Ephesians 5, I believe verse 29. But God calls us to deny self, to crucify self. And all of this self-care and all of this self-pampering stuff is nothing but a bunch of psychobabble that is absolutely satanic. The Bible says, does not say to love yourself. You already love yourself. That's your biggest problem. That's my biggest problem. And the only way to walk with Christ is to crucify self and to serve God and others. And the Holy Spirit will be there if you're born again. The scripture says in Romans 8:13, he's going to enable that. If you live after the flesh, instead of the spirit, that is, you shall die. You'll be dead. You'll be separated from God because he's holy, holy, holy. But if ye through the spirit, through the Holy Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And let me just say this. We got a message on safeguardyoursoul.com called The Flesh Will Never Be Reformed. It must be crucified. It's text, scripture message, and also a podcast. The flesh will never be reformed. You cannot reform the flesh. Doesn't matter how long you live on earth, you will never reform the flesh. It must be daily, Jesus said, crucified. Loving your wicked self is just the antithesis of the cross. All we're doing when we love ourselves, pamper ourselves, and waste more time on so-called self-care is to make the problem of self bigger, our main enemy, to fortify the evil within. You must walk in the spirit and not the flesh. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Galatians 5:16 through 24. Crucifying that evil by the power of the Holy Ghost, who is then raising you upward in his grace, glory, and power, is a divine prescription. Colossians 3:3, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. I want you to read Philippians 2 each morning this week. Jesus commands you to love God, friends, to worship God, to obey God, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Matthew 22. And this message of the cross is all over the Bible. Notice 2 Corinthians 1:9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Paul said, the sentence of death. We should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. That is so powerful. It's not until you sentence yourself to death because you prefer and you love God supremely, not yourself. It's only then that you're going to have your trust in God and not self, and he's going to raise you up. We must declare, saints, and establish the sentence of death in ourselves, unquote, so that our trust is in God who raised Christ from the dead and raises up all of his saints as they are crucified with him. This is the only thing a disciple is going to be doing, first and foremost. And that death, burial, and resurrection reenacted in your daily life, Romans 6, is going to bring about resurrection power, the life of Christ ruling and reigning in your life. And that begins when you say, Lord, from now on, not my will, Jesus, but yours be done. Not my will, but thine be done. Luke 22, also John the Baptist said, you must increase, Jesus, but I must decrease. That's when you're getting real with God. When you're getting real with God, you're going to ask your friends to pray that you would be crucified with Christ. You're not going to be running around asking people all of these self-serving things. He says, let your request be made known unto God. But I'm just saying, you're going to be. God wants us to pray about everything. But it's a little bit suspect when all we're asking for prayer for is surface level issues, things that have no eternal value. Instead of pray for me that God will anoint me to the death and burial of self, to teach me that cross, that crucified life, so that Christ is reigning in my life. I dare you to ask somebody to pray that for you, a real disciple this week. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. And so those false teachers and false prophets, quote unquote, that are making merchandise of you by their good words and fair speeches, they are deceiving the hearts of the simple. Romans 16:17-18 and 2 Peter 2 verses 1 through 3 are never going to teach this cross message. I want to stop and say this. You actually think that your pastor is a man of God or your favorite Bible teacher, and he's never teaching you about the crucified life. that Jesus and his apostles continually taught about as an absolute essential. And you believe that that brother, you call him a brother and you act like he is a man of God? I wonder why that is. Could it be because you love your ears tickled, because you're not in the Word yourself, and so you don't know what's being left out, because you just threw your soul in the hands of another mere mortal, another sinner, instead of seeking God yourself? You want somebody else to tell you about God. Hell is full of just such people who believed that they were saved, and they might have even gotten saved initially, but they fell away because they weren't interested in really knowing God. The whole reason why Jesus said he came, he said, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God of Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent," John 17:3. It's all about knowing God. That's what this relationship is about, and you cannot cheat the divine system, my friend. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So many today just want to use, so they think, Jesus to get them out of hell and get them to heaven, but they have no intention and aren't actively seeking the face of the Lord in an intimate, personal, daily relationship. They are just like the five foolish virgins who were shut out of the eternal bridal chamber. And the same will be the case for all that are lukewarm. He said to the church, not the lost, the Bible's written to the church, that the lukewarm are going to be spewed out of his mouth. If Jesus is a hobby and you're not seeking his face daily, you don't have enough Christ in you to minister to other people, it's because you don't have the fruit of a Christian life. You're not a disciple. And that's a clear indicator that you need to repent before it's too late. Because if you are not confessing Christ before other men, he is not going to confess you before his Father. That's what he said. Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9. "Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God." That doesn't need any explanation. Also, Mark chapter 8. Notice at the end of that chapter, we have on record, Jesus says, beginning in verse 34, "Whosoever will come after me," if you're going to follow him, let him do what? Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. "And whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's," making him known, "the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever," he finishes, "therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So if you aren't intently reading and studying God's word and obeying it, you will not be with him. You have chosen to live separate from him. You've chosen to treat Jesus, the great bridegroom of heaven, like a second-class citizen, and it's a fool's hope to think you're going to escape the flames of eternal damnation. You've chosen to put him aside. No different than if a man is engaged to a woman. When Jesus saved you, you became espoused, the Bible calls it, engaged to Christ, the great bridegroom. But if a man is engaged to a woman who loses interest in him later, before they're married, is that man going to marry that woman? No. Same with the woman. If she sees that her fiancé, as we call it, is not really into her, doesn't really love her, isn't crazy about it, he's got time to do everything else. She's kind of like a second-class citizen to him. Do you think she's actually going to go through with that wedding? No. Neither the man or the woman are going to continue. Anybody with sanity is going to continue in an engagement relationship where the other party has become lukewarm. See, those who are lukewarm, those who are not in God's word daily, have backslidden, and they simply do not love Jesus. Going to church, by the way, has little or nothing to do with your walk with Jesus, especially in this late hour. Now, fellowship does. The Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." You know, I just emailed a dear brother in Christ in another country who calls me every week. We have our weekly fellowship time as part of our fellowship on his life and in mine. That's just a small part. But we do have that time in the Word together. We're going to be reading through, I should say, Psalm 112 together tomorrow about the faithful man. It's kind of a parallel to the Proverbs 31 passage, which speaks so much about the virtuous woman. Psalm 112 is about the faithful man, the man that is faithful to God. Jesus saved you to be faithful to him, not a church. But you are responsible for fellowship. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Where two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of them, Jesus said, Matthew 18. And have a connection and a relationship with an elder in the body of Christ. That would be very important. Now, to say that all has to happen in a building on Sunday morning is very misleading. Unfortunately, today, most of those gatherings, as we've been talking about in this message, do not represent the New Testament church we see in Holy Scripture. There are, in the modern church, many errant doctrines and the absolute intentional evading of the doctrines of the Christian faith, as we mentioned earlier. Notice in the modern church, there's some things that are very obviously missing from the message we hear on Sunday mornings. For example, when is the last time you went to a Sunday morning gathering and heard about the divinity and the uniqueness of Jesus Christ from the Scriptures? He is the central subject, the grand topic of all of Scripture. If we miss Jesus, we miss everything. When is the last time you heard a thorough message on the doctrine and the reality of hell and who's going there? When is the last time you heard about the cross, the crucified life that we have touched on today? How about forsaking all? Jesus said you have to forsake all to follow him. He's got to be your first love, Revelation 2, 4, and 5. Otherwise, you need to repent before it's too late. If he's not your first, not second, but first love, if you don't love him more than all others, you're not going to be with him. That's what he said. In fact, your love for others needs to seem like hatred compared to your love for him. He must come first. You must fear, worship, and love God to have a relationship with him, without which you will not be with him. Matthew 10, rules of engagement for the kingdom of Christ. Read it, Matthew 10. How about judgment? Have you heard a message on judgment to come and the wrath of God that is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness? They have a Bible, but they don't own it. It doesn't own them. They don't count God important enough to seek his face in his word and know him. How about this? Have you heard a message on persecution? I didn't say did you hear it mentioned here or there, but have you heard a message on it? It's all over the Bible. We have a persecution category. It's a cache, C-A-C-H-E, of incredible biblical messages on persecution. safeguardyoursoul.com/persecution. How about repentance? We have a heading there if you want Bible teaching on repentance, podcast, biblical scripture, all the way through. safeguardyoursoul.com/repentance. On the desktop version of safeguardyoursoul.com, there's a drop-down menu, there's a little arrow, and it's over 200 categories. I want to encourage you to avail yourselves to the resources on safeguardyoursoul.com, which has been being built for decades. It's built extensively more every day, 24, all around the clock. And wanted to take this time also to say thank you for those that are helping. We have a message called War Chest. Look up the words in the search box, War, W-A-R, Chest. Check it out. We'd love to invite you to pray for this ministry fruitfulness every day and to help support it. It's well needed. Thank you for those who are supporting. There's probably 8 to 10 now. That's a blessing. Holiness. When's the last time you heard a message on holiness? Did you realize the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord? Have you heard that scripture quoted lately? Hebrews 12, 14. How about 1 Peter 1:15 and 16? Be ye holy, as I am holy, he said. Incredible. How about the readiness for the return of Christ? Have you heard a message on being ready for the return of Christ lately? I hope so, but in most cases, those that are deceived and part of the apostate modern church world are simply participating in a wasted life, if you will, fake or false worship, where they worship God with their mouth and their tongue, but their heart is far from him, and where they're participating in a covetous reciprocation, where they're bidding Godspeed to, participating in and supporting men that are not preaching the original gospel, as is found on the pages of Holy Scripture. As we read earlier, they're making merchandise of you, and you're bidding Godspeed to them, and you're in trouble. God's calling you to repent. So we've been misled, so many, and it's time to return humbly in authentic repentance to Christ, friends. Yes, Christ. Remember him? You know, the one the modern church frauds we call pastors won't spend any time preaching about? No, they're too busy tickling ears, coddling you in your sins, instead of calling you to repent, fast, pray, and overcome them, withholding the truth, etc. That's what they're doing. You'll never know that until you get right with God. It's only when you turn your heart to the Lord that the veil that presently blinds you is going to be removed. 2 Corinthians 3, I believe it's 14 through 16. But they do want to take your money. They're definitely there to take your money. I know of a local church in a town where you can't find how to contact them online. I wanted to talk to one of the pastors about one of their doctrines or something a while back. I don't remember what it was about. And man, you could not find anywhere, including their own website, how to contact them. But you could find all kinds of places that said, click here to give, but they're not available to you. They got several pastors on staff at that false church, but nobody's available. They're only available to take your money. Boy, you talk about a clear example of making merchandise of you. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. I want you to begin to become familiar with the Word of God and get it in your vocabulary and start speaking it and discussing it with other believers. That's what fellowship is all about. Letting the Word of Christ dwell in you, not only individually, but corporately as a body with one or more other person. Let the Word of Christ, Paul said, dwell in you richly, abundantly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Some of the sweetest fellowship I've ever experienced, and I believe many of you can relate, is with just one other person, maybe two. Wow, incredible. Absolutely incredible. No bureaucracy, no program other than, man, we're coming together to seek God and to read some scripture. Nobody has to have some big message plan with 5 points in a poem and all that. None of that. That's nothing but a business. They have made a business out of the church. And Jesus, if he were here today, and he's doing it through his messengers, as you can hear in this message, rebuking those wicked doers who have made his house a den of thieves instead of a house of worship. It must be exposed. We got a couple of messages on the site. One of them's called Den of Thieves, Embezzlement in the Church. Another one is called House of Prayer, Table Flipping Savior. And I want to encourage you, I believe one or both of them, probably both of them, have a podcast attached to it with scripture and text. So you won't hear the essential doctrines of the original gospel, such as some of the ones I mentioned earlier, repentance, holiness, all of these essentials, the cross, the crucified life, judgment to come, hell, the divinity of Jesus Christ, the uniqueness of Christ, born of a virgin, etc., the return of Christ. Notice Hosea 4, 8 and 9 says, they eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity, and there shall be like people, like priests. Notice, like people, like priests, and I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. Hosea 4, 8 and 9, that's right after he said, my people are going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. They didn't love him enough to get in his word, therefore they're going to be destroyed. I mean, imagine being in hell for all eternity and having to live in just absolute misery and remorse that you were so stupid that you counted the God of self more important than the great Savior, the only one that could have brought you out of sin and into eternal glory. And yet you're going to have all eternity, world without end, suffering consciously forever. Mark 9, 43 through 49. You're going to have forever to reflect upon, to cook in this conviction. It's going to be horrible, folks. It's going to be horrible. We might as well learn to love Jesus and follow him on his terms. Absolutely. I wrote this earlier. Imagine spending eternity suffering in hell, fully conscious and full of remorse at the utter stupidity you chose in your earthly life, where you put self first instead of the Savior. Hell is forever. It's irrevocable. It's inescapable. And Jesus is the one who preached and taught hell more than any other. In fact, he said that it would be wise to cut off the hand, to pluck out the eye that causes you to offend, that is, to live in sin, lest your whole body be cast into hell, where the fire, first of all, your worm, your consciousness, dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For he goes into further detail at the end of this passage, in the end of Mark 9, for every sacrifice shall be salted with fire. Everybody that goes to hell. What does salt do? Salt preserves. So you're going to be preserved in this suffering in hell and never having the opportunity to escape. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 43, everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? have salt in yourselves. In other words, have salt in yourselves while you're on the earth before you're in hell being salted or preserved in that torment. Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another. So we're talking about false prophets and the reciprocation, the covetous reciprocation and reciprocal relationship between false leaders and those who fund them, and they love the fun. They love the fun in the games. There's one church in Colorado called Fun Church. You have got to be kidding me. Fun Church. This is nothing but a circus. Fun Church. People want to have fun when they go to church. Well, you're a counterfeit if that's what you're looking for. Well, our children love the, but are they teaching the Word of God from the King James Bible? That's what I'm asking you. Are they rebuking you? Reprove, preach the Word, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. If they're not, they're doing nothing but tickling ears. They want you to be one of their customers, their return customers. They're not watching for your soul. Men who watch for your souls say things like Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:11, for example, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, yes, the terror of the Lord upon all evildoers. Remember, the wrath of God is revealed in the Word from heaven. It doesn't matter if people aren't talking about it. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness from all those who have the Word of God, and yet they suppress it. They refuse to obey it because they love darkness rather than light, because their own deeds are evil. They're unrepentant. Knowing therefore, this is Paul, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. In other words, those who listen to these godly men who rebuke them, who love them, who give them the raw, naked truth of the Word of God with no respect to their feelings, that's the people that you're going to have a clear conscience listening to, instead of some little pansy that's tickling your ears and trying to make you feel good in your sins from a pulpit. That's about all we have in the modern church. This is the Apostle Paul. That's just a sampling. Again, as you read Scripture, it's going to shock you when you see men of God saying stuff like that. Also, how about David in Psalm 50? He says, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver." Wow, that's what a man of God will do. He'll warn you and dangle your soul by a spider thread in his preaching over the flames of eternal damnation and make you feel the fire of hell, so that he will save you with fire, Book of Jude. He will save you with fear, if you will. Preach to you until the conviction sets in and you repent. Notice Psalm 9:11 from the psalmist, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God." I believe it's 13 times Jesus preached on hell. In fact, we've got a message on the website, and it is titled, "Did Paul Preach on Hell?" That's important in our day. We have the dispensationalist cowards who really think that because Paul taught on grace that he didn't teach on hell. But Jesus spoke of perdition, and Paul preached the original gospel, what the Scripture calls the apostles' doctrine, the doctrine of Christ taught by the apostles to the world. In Philippians 1:28, Paul spoke of perdition that ultimately is hell. Also, 2 Thessalonians 2:3, he spoke of the son of perdition and how ungodly men in 1 Timothy 6:9 drown men, or covetousness, the sin of covetousness and for the things of this world and greed are going to drown men in destruction and perdition. Perdition, that means hell. Then Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews 10:39, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." If you draw back from Christ, you backslide. You don't seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength to the end. You're going to be in perdition. Also, 2 Peter, the Apostle Peter, spoke of damnation. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, "Of all false teachers and false prophets and those that follow and support them and bid Godspeed to them." In chapter 3, verse 7 of 2 Peter, he speaks of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Revelation, the Apostle John speaks of perdition. Revelation 17:8, he spoke over and over about the lake of fire. 17:11, he speaks of perdition again. What is perdition? To destroy fully, literally or figuratively. And that means and can only mean damnation for their pernicious ways and waste. Hebrews 10:29-31, "Of how much sorer," that means worse punishment, more severe punishment, "suppose he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified," this person he's speaking of, these people were saved, they were sanctified, "an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense or repay, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Many believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but either way, that's divinely inspired scripture. Paul spoke of those who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. And then he goes on to define them. They're those who don't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Therefore, they're going to be deceived. God's going to send them strong delusion and they're going to be damned. You can find those power words right there. Paul spoke of false teachers whose end is destruction in the end of Philippians 3. Their end is destruction or eternal ruin in hell, whose God is their belly, their self-serving appetite. That's why they're not going to give you the naked truth of the whole counsel of God's word. They're not going to preach the things we mentioned earlier, many and other things from the word of God, because they want to tickle your ears and cause you to reciprocate them by supporting them. So we just read here a minute ago, Hosea 4:8-9, and this plainly speaks of like people. People like priests, this is plainly seen in how many today seek to emulate the vain, vile wolves they support in hopes of being able to live lavishly in this fleeting world, as do their wolves that they support. The chief reason that wicked, smiling beguilers have been so successful in this self-serving, greedy-hearted, Christ-denying people who fund them. The Bible teaches that this is age-old. It's an age-old deception. These two parties reciprocate one another. Notice, again, like people, like priests. So in this passage, Hosea 4, we see the reciprocation of the beguiler and those they beguile, the willingly beguiled or giving to those, deceiving them in hopes of becoming rich in this world, as these charlatans demonstrate in their own personal lives. Someone has wisely said, I have to agree with this from looking over the preponderance of scripture, that more people are going to be damned to eternal damnation for the sins they would not cut out of their lives. They wouldn't cut off the hand and pluck out the eye of covetousness and greed. Notice in the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, for this ye know, Paul says, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, that's a sodomite, any homosexual, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Again, a covetous man who is an idolater is not going to have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Colossians 3:5 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So a wealth of more information from scripture in the text portion of this message on safeguardyoursoul.com. As we finish here, we're going to pray together in just a moment. Ezekiel 14:10 says, and they shall bear the punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. God's going to punish those who support his very enemies who claim to be representing Christ while subverting and ignoring and evading the truth of God. That's Ezekiel 14:10. We see this throughout scripture. Notice 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall, they'll seduce that money right out of your pocket. But evil men, these are some of the most slick talking deceivers on the planet. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. The epidemic of false teachers and false prophets is only growing in the last days. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And he says a few verses later, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine. They'll ignore it or explain around it. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Again, we see this covetous reciprocating relationship between false teachers, wolves, and their prey. The prophesied proliferation of evil men and seducers is upon us, friends, and made possible only by those who what? After their own lust, they're unrepentant, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want their ears tickled. They don't want the truth. They run from people they call too harsh, too condemning, because they give the word of God. Remember, here's a stat that's interesting. In 2006, churches spent $8.1 billion on audio and projection equipment, according to the TFC Info, an audiovisual market researching firm, as reported by the Christian Post. Notice $8.1 billion on audio and projection equipment, and they're not even teaching the Word of God. That's right. In just 1 year, $8.1 billion was spent in the modern church on projection equipment alone. That money was spent by financially supported CEOs who run their churches like businesses. And where did that money come from? See, this just gives an example, a specific, on how there's a covetous reciprocation going on between counterfeit people who refuse to repent and follow Christ on His terms and hear from God for themselves, so they go to support a man that's going to tell them what they want to hear. Largely, this is supported by people who are being misled by these leaders, and boy, don't they just love it. They just love what they're doing, but they're not going to love hell. This tells us plainly that leaders are using these monies they collect to enhance their own physical buildings and make people feel good and comfortable and enhance their ability to seduce them on Sunday mornings. So the motivation for giving is to serve themselves. This is hardly a godly, biblical motive for giving. Instead of giving to the poor, Christians in particular, instead of giving to ministries that are endeavoring to preach the whole raw truth of God and aren't afraid to rebuke you, but they do it outrightly, intentionally with the Word of God. These people are supporting the people that tell them what they want to hear. So they have a nice, comfortable place to go on Sunday morning to make them feel better and confirm them in their sin as they are on their way, the broad way, on that broad way that leads straight into destruction. Jesus warned us, "Enter ye in," he said, "at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Many there be which go in thereat. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. That's what Jesus taught, friends. He's the only Savior. Matthew 7:13-14. Let us pray, my friends. Heavenly Father, you're holy, and we come to you now afresh, this very moment, rending our hearts and submitting them to you in this very moment. We ask you to forgive our self-idolatry and all of our wickedness, our greed and covetousness. Let an axe be laid to the root, Lord. Change us at the core of our being. Circumcise our hearts, O God. We love you, Jesus, and we return to you right now in repentance, admitting our own wickedness and how we have gone our own way, not your way. Please forgive us for any and all sins we have committed in misstewarding your resources and funding your enemies. Forgive us, God, for bidding Godspeed to your own enemies, God. Into your hands we commend, we release our spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners have being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.